All right, welcome board members. We're grateful that we're here on day two of our board retreat. Today is Tuesday, June 3rd, 2014. We are in the boardroom. We are in open session today, our work session, and those present are Lynn Hobbs, Jeff Barbin, our business administrator, board members James Blair, Christy Cooley, and Gary. Connie Morgan will be joining us sometime today, as well as our personal director, Suzanne Caressa, our board secretary, Stacey Hunter, and our fantastic guest invited, wonderful person, Annette Brinkman. She's coming to us from the Granite School District on recommendations from Marshall. We'd like to excuse Marshall today. He is home with his family. So we are going to start our session off today with a discussion about how and the process for which we will choose our new superintendent. And I've asked Annette to come and start that process. So, Annette.
Fabulous. Okay, we're going to, and I'm sure today won't be the only time that we meet. But today, you know, as we've emailed, looked at, okay, first of all, you know, we need to really figure out what you love about Logan District, what you want to be sure stays, almost what you're, to quote my superintendent, what your non-negotiables are. And then we need to move into really looking at the characteristics of the person that you want as the superintendent. Professional characteristics and really personal characteristics. Because, of course, they work very, very closely with you on, I would assume, an almost daily basis. You know, as often as I'm here, I would assume that that goes on a lot. So, as odd as it sounds, it wants to be someone that you want to talk to. So, I thought we'd start with really a little bit of individual brainstorming here on some note cards to almost find the commonality. What are the things about Logan District, and you can take that really any way you want, with schools or the people or the district office or practices, that no matter who the leader is, as a board, you're saying, you know what, that's really important to us. It's a priority. We want it to remain intact. So let me just hand you each some cards and some markers and just write really one idea per card, and I'll just keep taking them from you as you write them and doing a sort so that we're able to see where your agreements lie. And you have a certain color or smell of marker that you would like. You have many. Why? Sure. Because then if you accidentally write on your skirt, it won't show.
Yeah, wait. And pink really isn't my color, so.
I understand.
One of our board members ran Connie Cares for Kids, and our former board member who was against her, as he went door to door, people said, well, I hope you're educating children, not kids. So when I wrote kids, I thought I've got to put that in on Inchburg Red. Now I can't remember what this was going to be.
Some of you are writing things about the district, some of you are writing
writing things about the superintendent.
What are you wanting?
Either way, it's fine because we will get to both. So you take your pick. Once you've exhausted your brain about one, feel free to go to the other. That stands your task for you. Because you're right about one, I think sometimes something from the other category comes to mind. Yeah, districting, superintendent thing.
She's an administrative assistant.
An acronym for me, and the Disneyland pen will make you feel better. In fact, I think it should go home with you. You know the sign, too.
This is the better marker.
There's plenty there.
Well, there's some with a sharper tip.
Oh, yeah. Some are probably a little worn. We've obviously started with the superintendent, him or herself. Okay. So some of these are almost things you find on a resume. Mm-hmm. Others are things you can't see on a resume, if that makes sense. You hope you can see them when you meet people and reference checks. But that's the thing, is once we almost narrow this down to some categories, actually determining as you place really first step, and I understand you're looking at doing a more of a nation research. Don't know, maybe. Because I think the job, how the job description is written will be pretty huge. Because like right here we have, well-educated. That's come up here. Knowledge data, those kind of things. So that's where as a board you'll have to decide, well, how important is this to us? Because if we put down that a doctorate is required, will that X out automatically a lot of people who have some of these other strengths?
So in the past, we have put a doctorate is preferred basically because being in a college town, to have any kind of respect from the university, you need to have doctor in front of your name.
So preferred but not, so basically it's bonus points, for lack of a better term. Okay, let's look at some of these, and I've got some in my hands that won't quite fit here. So, you know, for each one of these, just almost be pondering, and it's really going to be pretty obvious which things are very important to you, because like right here, these five cards all say the same thing. Students first, students always come first, loves kids, not those. Children, student-centered, children first. And this one right here almost goes along with it when I read what it says. Being involved in schools, but the example is reading to first graders. Number one example. Because I know that's something in Marshall's world that is, when he hasn't been able to do that for whatever reason, that's where I've seen the man tear up a bit, because it's that important to him. So, students first is a biggie. Okay, so I'm just going to make myself a little note right here. Okay, so this one we know is a priority. Okay, another one, and I see your card over here that makes this pile pretty big too. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 cards. 3 say integrity, 1 says honesty. And let's see if there's any more that went exactly with that. to me, this almost does too, transparent. Okay, so another big one we have is that this person has integrity. Yeah. Yeah, it's sometimes interesting what comes out in the background check that you don't quite expect. Okay, do you want to know
and what colleagues think about a person?
Yes. Yeah, to find out that too. You know, this, I have to admit, I got really excited when I followed these. Celebrate good things, celebrate what's right, positive, fun climate, and of course, have a very nice back porch. Because really what you're saying is you want someone in this position who is not just always going to be stoic and serious. You want them to be able to laugh a little bit with you, with teachers, with students, with parents.
And I'll show you some pictures at lunch.
Okay. And you want them to recognize that we do need to celebrate good things. And we've all been in this business long enough to know that I think the harder education gets, the less we remember to celebrate. So you want someone who can see the good things, even in tough times. Okay. Celebrate the good things. And I'm in enough of your schools to know there's a lot of good things. Okay, some others that were really came together. These all kind of go together. We have the ability to build relationships, a people person, and also someone who communicates well and someone who supports open communication. So open communication could even go with transparency. But of these three, which one do you like the best? They really are kind of all standing. Ability to build relationships, being a people person, or being a communicator. What speaks to you?
That you have to have, I don't know, I know a lot of people persons that don't communicate well.
Yep.
But I also know a lot of people that communicate well but aren't very good people persons.
So we want
a very good person who is a people person who can communicate well.
Yeah, and it kind of goes under the topic of public relations as well. You can have a one-to-one relationship as well as a with the community relationship.
Yeah. And the legislative relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the, because you know, when I, other superintendents, you know what they say about your superintendent? He's the nicest man. He always has something positive to say. And that's what I hear other superintendents say about your superintendent.
I think on the communication, it's also important to look at written communication, not just the interpersonal,
yes,
but the strong ability to put to words an explanation.
Written, spoken, and sometimes the under pressure piece to me, because I haven't met any superintendent who doesn't communicate adequately, but under pressure is when I really
feel sometimes it's that email.
Yes, and it's that, you know, where it's like, no, take your hand off for 2 hours. Don't just sit then.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost that knowledge to wait. So let time.
Well, and you think when you're impressed, you know, take out the prepositional phrases because he really likes prepositional phrases.
They're his favorites. Okay, some of the others that you have, and this is where we can start categorizing. Transparent, open communication. And by transparency, obviously with you, that's huge. But who else are you talking about the transparency with?
Yeah, to the public.
Okay. Good. Okay.
Except for those things that need to not be transparent. You know, that there's transparency with a wall behind those things. And that's, in some ways, just as important, being able to keep confidential things confidential.
Uh-huh.
Because there are some who are not able to do that. and that will bite a board so quickly.
And these two right here are the wonderful example of that.
Yes.
They're still nice, but they don't go there.
Right.
Okay, and then you have this one to me, and two of you said it flat out here. Honors teachers, respects and honors teachers.
Well, that should probably include teachers and staff.
Okay, I can add respect to them.
Well, and there are a few teachers who feel like when Marshall said students come first, that wasn't respecting and honoring teachers, which
it's kind of just the opposite of my view.
Right, right. And that's an interesting
lens. That's the first time I've ever heard someone perceive it that way.
And there are some.
And did he have this look on his face like, really?
Yeah. Okay, some other ones that you have a couple here when we put them together. Understands good practice. A cohesive curriculum, which to me almost goes on the other end of what we expect to have. Knowledge of data. And this is important for your superintendent, but obviously with professional learning communities, very important for them. I mean, huge for them also. I'm going to kind of leave these three over here as we start building our other list. But understands good practice. I don't know which one of you wrote this, but were you talking about teaching classroom practice?
And everything else, isn't it?
Is that all right? Suzanne?
Yeah.
Can you talk about classroom practice, teaching practice?
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think there's also good practice in board meetings and good practice. There's a lot of there's a lot of research on a lot of practice.
Definitely. But that's why I wanted to see what this one particularly referred to. But to me, these two almost go hand in hand. Because if you're going to respect teachers, you really need to understand what they're doing and how hard their job is.
Well, I was also thinking, I mean, if you're going to look at cohesive curriculum, you've got to have understanding there. If you're going to look at evaluation, you've got to understand. Yeah. If you're going to move us forward in meeting the needs of kids and the diversity that we face, if you don't understand good teaching practice, how would you move that person forward? How would you lead people in responding to our demographics? How would you lead us in providing evaluation, performance, pay?
How would you understand where Logan has come and not have it go backwards?
So you've got to have good management skills, but you've got to have it in the context of education.
Yep.
So that's kind of what I was getting at.
And this one to me kind of goes almost an overarching theme as I'm listening to you talk. Respects traditions, but moves us forward.
When you have a district as old as ours is.
Yes.
I want to rest on the 1980 first Bush Outstanding School Awards. Well, that's great, but what's happened since then?
Right. Because we all know that education's changed a lot since then, as have the children that we're educating. And when the people around them don't change, that's where you run into problems. Mm-hmm. Or anyway, that's what I see in my own world. So here we have, and this to me goes along with your good practice, depth and breadth of knowledge. And also your breadth. They really understand good teaching practice. And then this to me is almost a different animal, because this is what we're talking about. They're well educated themselves. Because you're right. Logan's very different than Salt Lake. You are, a very cohesive district, and you are right in the, when I'm at one of your schools, when I'm with Eric, I'm on campus. I mean, that's the thing. You are a college town. There's no doubt about it. Which kind of makes it fun.
You know, Annette, as you talk, earlier about doctor's degree and never preferred. You know, there's certainly a balance there, recognizing that we are a college town, and also recognizing that a PhD doesn't make somebody all of those other things.
Yep.
And I would hate for us to have a doctor and not have one of these things.
Exactly. Far better off the other way.
There's some people who have started to explore this position who don't have doctorates. Who don't have doctorates yet, or, you know, have future plans or whatever. But when I compare them to people who have explored with a doctorate, I would take the ones without the doctorate hands down over this small group of people, within the small group of people who have started to acquire.
And that's why I figure we'll get all of our things up here and then almost rank how important each one of these are. Because I know as this is opened up, I'm like you. I have two people in my mind that I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they'd be perfect. And neither one of them have a doctorate.
And it might be, a willingness to pursue one.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it might be that you have other ways of demonstrating.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
And that's where the interview process, I think, becomes so important.
My uncle was state superintendent of schools, and his doctorate was an honorary degree from Snow College.
My
Jay Jaggard. You know that?
Oh, that's funny. I had no idea.
Okay, some other things that you have up here that, you know, have come up more than once. Great relationship with the board. Understands the board's role versus their role. And then there's another one in my hand that would fit on the chart. Okay, communicate ideas, work well with our board. Okay, so these three are all about the relationship with you. Can you give me some more specifics? What makes it so the superintendent has a great relationship with the school board?
I think the one thing that I like is being able, his communication to us over anything that's going on, that we understand it. We find it from him versus reading about it in the paper from someone else. That's one thing I really.
So you don't have bad surprises when you turn on the news?
And the few times that has happened, he's been extremely apologetic, and a lot of times he didn't know about it either.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, I saw one of my schools on the news in California when I just happened to be there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Good. Always, always good.
Oh. Yeah, first graders who left school at recess and no one knew when they crossed two long streets. It wasn't. Yeah, you don't want to see those things on the news when you don't know you're going to see it.
But there's also, there is something about...
Okay.
As board president, I was asked to recommend a football coach because that superintendent's son was on the football team. That was so uncomfortable for me as board president,
right,
to be asked to take that role when it truly was not my role.
Right.
And whenever or when we have individually chosen to be in a school and do an investigation or whatever, whether the superintendent asked us to do or not, it's not ever really come out great in my mind. Now, I don't know if somebody else may have had a different experience, but if you truly understand those roles and keep them there, it's much easier.
Okay.
Well, the fortunate thing that we have, too, is our board gets long.
Yeah,
and so we don't have a divisive board. I mean, we have our challenges, but we're pretty cohesive.
Yeah.
And I think that it's critical that the board, the superintendent doesn't come in and try to stir the pot and break it up.
But that's why some of you have been on the board for as long as you have, because you are, you know, cohesive. I'm sure you don't always agree.
No.
But you're still friends even after.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, look at some of my boards in the state where they are on such different ends of the spectrum. And the 4-3 votes are the tradition.
And then it's hard to get the support when it's a 4-3 vote. Because even though it's the vote, you still don't have the buy-in. Okay, these all go.
Well, I think that goes back to that. Marshall's very good about ensuring that we are all on the same page when it comes to a vote. I mean, he's very, he'll will work really hard to get a 5-0 vote, you know, long before the vote's even taken.
And we'll pull things if there's too much of a problem.
Well, and that makes you, and like you said, it makes you come across as much more cohesive, where people aren't going to question decisions that are coming from the board and try to go behind the scenes, which I see happens a lot. Okay, these all go together somewhat. Visibility. Involved in the community, involved in schools. So this is a person that doesn't require a lot of sleep. Because I would assume there's a lot going on in the community that Marshall is involved in. Well, just because I know, like, Sue is involved on, you know, she's on the Arbor Committee, and she's on, you know, so I would assume.
She's
a lot going on. Okay, involved in community, involved in schools. And then you mentioned the university role has come up more than once. Hello.
Hi.
Can you see that going right here?
Well, and that might be there's a partner. I thought I saw a partnership somewhere there, too.
And that would go there, too.
Because one thing Marshall has been so good at is, even though it takes a lot more work on people's part here to run this art yard at Summerfest, oh, my goodness, what a nightmare. But we're part of this community. We do it.
Right. Okay, these both have to do with diversity and the concern about demographics. And Suzanne, you mentioned it previously when you were talking about what I'd asked you when you meant by one of your cards. So when you say concern about demographics, tell me what you're meaning by that.
I wrote that one. I guess probably knowledge of what our district is because we're changing so rapidly.
Yeah,
that's something to me that. And as I've looked at a lot of the data, the ones that are struggling with in school seem to be that population that are, you know, they're not.
So how do we best meet the needs of our changing population?
Well, what's interesting is we consider ourselves a university town. And yet, we have almost inner city demographics.
Yes, I would agree.
You know, so university towns aren't normally inner city.
Right.
And, you know, are a different populace than what we find ourselves right now.
So you have a high telephone population.
Somebody's got to bring that background that is along the lines of inner city, and you don't have a lot of people residing in Logan area that are inner city making, you know, or experience or background.
And we hired Marshall, and it wasn't because he was from Ogden School District, but boy, did that add because he'd been in that very thing. And dealt with a very educated and very changing population.
Well, we think that it creates even between Logan District and Cash District, two neighboring districts, and yet realities are very different. And what is required is very different. And attitudes and feelings about what we do are becoming increasingly different too, so there has to be a way to really capture that so it's a positive to name,
but
not a taxing thing. And not that we're less preferred when compared to the county because of who we are and the challenges that are ours.
So, yes, having someone who
already
comes.
Not just the challenges, but the opportunities that we have that cash doesn't really have. The richness of just going to school with someone from a different culture, background, nation, is a huge advantage.
You know, and I think along that, I think, you know, we're going to have to look at a person's ability to make us competitive. Right now, you know, and this happens with this time of year as people look for other opportunities, but you also, every spring we get, you know, are we hemorrhaging? Are people choosing to leave us? Yeah, a few choose to leave us, and most leave for other reasons.
Are we talking students, families, or teachers?
I guess you could talk both. Right now I'm speaking about teachers.
Okay.
But unless we're able to present ourselves as an opportunity, and unless we're able to be competitive when compared to the county that's a more simplified, that's maybe not the best word, but, you know, I mean, expectation of what you're going to face day in and day out, then we're going to start a downward spiral because our demographics are going to continue to get increasingly difficult, and if we're not looking at how to recruit and retain and be competitive with people that bring that and the attitude of opportunity, then we're going to be second choice in a small valley, and that will not be good.
And I have loved that Marshall has been willing to work with the city and say to the city, you need to look at your neighborhood, our neighborhood. What are we doing to encourage families to stay in Logan? And that's a conversation that I don't think we've ever had before, and that willingness to go to city council meetings and planning commission meetings.
So that's an interesting one, the aspect of community planning and housing and things like that.
So under visibility partnerships, you should probably put Logan City. Okay, definitely in partnership with Logan City.
Yeah. Or not.
Yeah.
Depending on the issue?
Mm-hmm. And the money. Under demographics, is there anything that anybody thinks will change once cash builds two big brick buildings and we have this really nice one and that we are a smaller school district? So we will be seen as that smaller school district other than the giant corporation.
Or that we are the big high school that has more opportunities
right.
than four little tiny high schools.
That would be interesting to see.
Yeah, however they wanted to view it, you know, you could do it either way.
Mm-hmm. It'd be crazy not to, because it's going to be fantastic.
So high expectations for whom?
As I wrote that, I want to see, you know, kind of traditions we've had. You know, we expect Logan to have doing very well, kind of leading out, and I'd like to see that continue.
Okay.
Can I piggyback too on something that Christy just said? You know, you said it's going to be a fantastic high school. Well, if there's a vision of what Logan High School is to become and what that is, I mean, there's got to be an ability to keep that momentum. Yeah, I mean, if it's going to be different, then you know, you got to have somebody that understands that difference, otherwise you're going to go back to
same old stuff.
Yeah.
How would you define the difference?
Well, that's what I meant. So if you're saying, okay, Logan High School is going to be different, it's going to be a great high school, how do you see it being different, and what does that mean, and what does someone have to...
and to me, that's almost a question that we ask, is something about, tell us your vision for this school district, because... Does the candidate understand who we are and where we are,
yes.
and where to take those demographics in those schools
and even into the construction? And it does go back to what you said, Suzanne. And we talked about that with NHTN when we started the construction process at Logan High, and how critical it was that we can build a big, fancy, wonderful, amazing building, but if we don't have buy-in from our teachers,
it's going to be a big, fancy, amazing building without any quality education happening.
Yeah.
So I do think that there's a component to that that, you know, we think that...
Well, what is that vision for Logan High School, and then how does that...
Trickle down
to everybody else. Right, because you're not just going to get that by putting people in that building unless these kids are, you know...
And this is the better... Right.
Educated that way and trained that way coming up, that's the only way you're going to get that maximum benefit when they arrive there. But in order to get that maximum benefit in that building, the way it's constructed and set up to provide opportunity, there's a lot of things that have to take place by way of learning and
education and teaching.
Yeah. There's a lot that goes into that. I think the thing that I know some teachers on the new side of the building and everything are kind of digging in their heels and stuff, but I think if you had the opportunity to watch what we did under this new plan that we're doing and watch how the different demographics could come together as one instead of being this little isolated groups, that was the thing that really touched me the most when I witnessed that. It was that seeing them come together, that cohesiveness that was, and I wish that, you know, everyone could have that opportunity to see that and witness what can happen.
And what you just said, you know, that's what really touched you. Shane told me about it in almost the same verbiage. And that's the thing is, you need to be sure you have a superintendent that feels that same way. Because you're building a whole new building to really better meet the needs of in-depth learning, hands-on learning for a diverse population. And if you
that
have someone
doesn't align with this new person's
background
and
that
philosophy.
But the same step,
that's a big deal.
I mean, we want to keep moving forward, and we want our superintendent to have the vision, but we don't want him to say, okay, well, since you don't fit quite right into the vision, so, you know, you're out of here.
Right.
We want him to be able to say, okay, well, I'm going to them to come in and say, you know, help that person along to, or the group or whatever, provide leadership for their administrator to be able to get by in front of those people who are doing that.
On this, that's very similar, but we haven't, there is a group in the area who wants to merge our district.
Yes, there is.
And the Logan people who want to merge want to take Logan High back to what they had when they were there because it was so wonderful. Well, that's a world that doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly.
But it is a vision of basically demographics and other things. It's an extremely well-educated population.
Sitting in straight rows.
Yes. And so somehow, again, it's with this, that group is reaching out to people who have chosen to send their kids from the county to Logan High, that they understand those opportunities, that's good.
I'm going to add that under.
But, you know, and it is that, why don't we merge?
Well, along with that same comment is that we need someone who understands why we don't merge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, didn't we all watch what happened with Jordan District and Canyons when they went the opposite direction? I mean, I don't think it'd be any easier to come together as it was to go apart. Living in a big district, it's really hard to get one thing. I mean, you're trying to march.
Yeah, just throw out there.
Exactly.
Do your thing.
Financially responsible. Did our business manager write the card that said financially responsible? But I bet he'll second it.
Yeah.
I think all of us would second it.
Yeah. Especially as you're heading into, shall we say, a massive construction project, which I would assume there were bonds and levies and all that kind of money-making
And even more of that is understanding our superintendent usually does a lot with the staffing.
Yes.
You've got to understand what an FTE is and what it does. I mean, it's like, we want all these teams so we can really touch kids. Well, creating one more team, what does that cost? And unless the person understands that, and we had, at one time we had all these wonderful secondary teams and huge elementary classes.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got to understand if you're robbing one to pay the, it doesn't work.
Yeah, because if your bottom line as a board is to increase high school graduation, it starts in kindergarten. Exactly. So I put under here FTE, buildings, and really day-to-day. And we've all seen on the news districts that have got in really big trouble just by not watching the penny, the day-to-day.
Well, and I think what we've seen the last 8 years is superintendent who's part of building the budget. Sometimes we've had the business administrator builds the budget and nobody else understands it. And that's a problem. Right, Jeff?
Yes.
You need somebody who understands.
Mm-hmm. Well, for one thing, it gives inappropriate control, and then you're not protected as a business manager if your superintendent doesn't understand the budget. I certainly would want to put myself in that position with money, with taxpayers' money. Okay, we have a few that are about legislation, bargaining. How active is your superintendent with the legislation?
Yeah. And much more so than the previous superintendents.
And what are the payoffs you see because of this?
Major payoffs.
Yeah, I would agree. My superintendent is also extremely active with legislation.
We know.
Yeah. You see Martin there, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
There
and your board.
Yeah.
A lot of your board, Sharon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Sarah is a big proponent of keeping that moving. Okay, interest-based bargaining. Talk to me about this a little bit.
Interest-based bargaining started 3 years ago when we couldn't ratify with our teachers. And so we brought in someone from Las Vegas to kind of set that program up. And for 3 years, I think we're in our third year. And it really is a great way for all of our associations to combine together to come up with what's best for the whole. So I would want someone to be able to participate in that process with...
I figured it would process with your teachers' union and to really get a contract ratified with people agreeing instead of what we saw happen in another district to remain unnamed a couple years ago.
Yes. And it's the teachers' union as well as Crossside and the administrative.
Perfect.
So it's all three, organizations come.
And
together.
For you, I would assume that makes your life a little easier.
Yeah.
Or not. We'll do that. It's a double edged sword.
Is it?
Well, yeah. Almost everything we have up here, except for personal trades, is well. But I think that process as a board, we rely upon that process because it does produce what I feel is the best results for bargaining.
Yes. And we really do want to have, quality bargaining with our association, and that seems to be the best avenue.
Well, and this way you have a protocol and a process, so someone can't almost throw out the decision because of a process issue. Kind of like why you're going through this whole thing to hire a superintendent.
Well, and it's transparent.
Yes.
And that's what you like about it.
It's very time consuming.
I bet.
But things are of value oftentimes. But it requires one to be committed to a process, not just
if they
don't see
the superintendent. So if you have anything to add, just write it down on the paper.
But it also requires one to be able to keep things moving forward, because there are times in the interface bargaining that you can get bogged down.
Yes.
And you can just stay, those purpose is conversation, not decision.
Yeah.
And you have to have somebody that can really keep it moving forward, or you run the risk of people failing on the process.
And that's why you've got to have a superintendent who can.
And right now, Marshall has been facilitating that.
Yep, I'm going to provide your understanding and facilitation.
So there's an expectation, I think, of having, of those groups having direct access to, you know, the boss.
Yeah.
And if somebody's going to come in and want to look at that differently, then you're going to have a period where people are going to be going, wait a minute, I just want to go straight to the boss, because they've had that for the last little while. So you're going to have to explore, you know, a philosophy and a comfort level as well as a skill set to do that, or to
verbal path almost.
Yeah, or to delegate it to somebody else, but empower somebody else to do that, because you'd meet with some.
Yeah. Well, and notice the smaller the district is, the less of a line there is with access to a superintendent.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, if something actually gets to someone sitting down with Dr. Bates, you know how many avenues it's been through. Yet, if you're in Duchesne, it's a shorter line than here.
And in Bayou, there are only two of them in the district office.
Yes, exactly.
And they call their superintendent to sub for them in class.
and Jeff does the drama.
Well, there you go.
Which you're the right point. Positive thing and the negative thing.
Exactly. Because it gets you involved in the community, but also sometimes it's... If your superintendent's your trump card, sometimes you lose your trump card. Safe schools. Obviously hugely important. So how would you, with someone you're hiring, because what would you want them to know about safe schools?
Well, I think it's important to understand that schools in today's world are scary places for a lot of people.
Yep.
I mean, even if it's not scary really, mm-hmm. it's perceived as being potentially a dangerous place to go for children,
right.
unfortunately. And so there needs to be something in place that says we are aware of that, and we are doing some things to make sure that our schools are safe places.
Right.
I'd like them to also know, not just generally that, but that's the start, but to know what might be the safety issues at Woodruff. What are the safety issues at the ball fields, in the gym, in each individual school?
Like the road outside Logan High, when that was a... Yeah.
Well, but also be able to balance that with, do we put metal gates up, and you know, and there's that understanding of the safety of schools and
another member of the NRA.
Awareness versus alarmist.
Right, very much so. And on many of these things, is that same are they fanatical or are they balanced?
Well, yeah, because we've all seen situations that weren't a big deal become a huge deal because of how someone reacts. Collaboration, I think we've hit that with many other things. I'll add it on that chart over there. This one, I thought was really interesting. I liked it. Is willing to not always be right. And is that with you as a board, or with teachers, principals, or everyone?
Everyone.
So willing to say, screwed up, happened, sorry. Because I think that does happen to all of us. Okay, so if I go jog over there to write those down, current technology. This to me almost goes here, but with the characteristics of a superintendent, what were you looking at with current technology?
Thank you. Well, we're going into a world of technology, and we have technology reports every board meeting.
Right.
We certainly want someone that's on the edge of technology and isn't still using a typewriter.
Yes, so they've got to have a base understanding themselves.
Because I know you have a tech person, obviously. Okay, willing to not always be right. Okay, and collaboration, I think we pretty much have all of them. Okay. Oh, I like this. Real answers, not BS. And to me, that goes along with transparency and integrity. And I'm assuming that, this isn't, of course, to the board, but also to
everyone.
To everyone. Okay, we're going to add that right here with integrity, and we'll put it with transparency.
Because it's really easy to string the appropriate professional words together,
yeah.
And we've all done it, okay? And it sounds like an answer.
Yeah. And you really haven't answered the question of that.
Right.
Okay, comfortable with employee concern. Yeah, so they're actually able to have difficult conversations without getting, shall we say, overly nervous. Because I don't know
how to defensive.
In a professional manner.
Right.
Yep. Okay, this one I'm going to add right here. Here where we have honors teachers, understand good practice, keeps teachers. We don't lose them. Knows and is available to teachers. It's actually in their classrooms. Knows some of their names. Probably doesn't know all of their names, but at least some of them.
That's still the word teachers. Yeah, bottom level. Okay.
Okay, this one's huge, and it's the first part that's come up.
Okay, but I have to backtrack one step for that teacher component.
Have to.
Because I think that he also has to, the person, have to be able to understand that teachers don't necessarily go straight to the superintendent or the board.
That's that line they need to take
their issues to their administrator,
yep.
and not go straight to the superintendent first, because that's not their first step. The first step is...
Well, so that gets at something, a descriptor we haven't had in terms of policy.
Yep.
Yes.
Knowing policy,
policy,
understanding policy, and following.
You put that big bold letters.
I'm thinking that too, all caps
policy.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you know, as a faculty person, when you think about, well, I'm going to go talk to the superintendent. You may or may not know the policy. You hope the superintendent does.
Yeah.
But what you don't want him to do is just to summarily dismiss you. That's, what I mean with being able to talk. Is that, you know, it can be the first question is, have you talked to your principal?
Yep,
have you done this?
But they have to be aware of that.
If you're not comfortable with that, you know, where do we go?
Yeah.
Rather than saying,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, and like I was just saying to Stacey, that that's your first question when someone calls to make an appointment with Marshall. Have you talked to your school administrator? Because you're right, it's that line we're talking about, because having been in Granite and we're on there every day, as huge as it is, you know, Martin does walk-in Wednesdays. Wednesdays, anyone can come talk to him. Anyone. But that's the only time that would ever happen. Or he would get anything done.
He does walk-in Wednesdays.
Walk-in Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yep. All day long. No. I think 3 to 5.
Oh.
Walk-in Wednesday. Maybe 3 to 6. I've never walked in, so I'm not sure.
But I don't want the people not at their assignments.
I don't think I want to walk in. Delegate.
That's mine, yeah.
And I think this is huge to come on, because we all know when we try to do everything ourselves, we do a lot of surface stuff, but we don't really get to what's important. Have you worked for people, worked with people who don't delegate when they're on top positions?
Or maybe not the superintendent, but other people.
Or yeah. They delegate too much. Well, either way, it's bad, isn't right. it?
So let's I was trying to write judiciously, but there was kind of like a fat pen.
I would put it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that was exactly that. Was and the stomach came to my head. I was pretty happy with that. Stable, not moving.
Yeah,
well,
it's kind of like being a
teacher.
You
can't
ask
people
to
say
yes.
Yeah, pretty much all of that.
Everybody.
You do.
Yeah,
isn't that true
about it? No, Lynn's
able. Well, you know what? Sometimes when I think of it, is I've thought of it mostly in terms of principals, but it can be superintendents too,
yes.
Is that you're always walking on ice.
Yes.
You're tiptoeing, and you will say to a colleague, is this a good day to go talk to him? And it shouldn't have to be that way.
Right.
Except at tax time. Then you're alive.
Okay. So you have a huge, we have three papers here. And of course, there's no way you can put every one of these things on a job description. And there's no way you can interview for all of them.
Yeah.
So now we have to do a bit of prioritizing. So basically, while you take a little break, I'm going to get that set up for you. So take about a 10-minute break, and I'll be ready for you.
Perfect. We love it. We do have a kind of a Lynn has to leave her tomorrow at 11.
Okay.
I can probably stay here like 20 after 11.
Okay,
but you'll be back.
Are you keeping track of how many funerals you speak at, Lynn?
Okay.
No.
That's a good question.
Too many.
Well, and that's where, I mean, you can decide if you can take it out at that time, you can use your other business, or you can keep out.
Thank you. Second day here.
I do so much.
It's just like, you know, perhaps I'm running late. I said, yeah. Because
Suzanne has not made up
the...
Delegation. That's appropriate. Judicious delegation. With a smile on her face. Look at that.
She does.